Amen. Turn with me this morning to the book of Psalms, Psalm 142. And it's a relatively short psalm, 7 verses long. So if you will bear with me, I would like to read the whole thing this morning. And for you that are able and willing to stand for the reading of the scripture, as is our custom, you can join me in that and read along with me. Psalm 142, verse number 1. I cried unto the Lord with my voice. With my voice unto the Lord did I make my supplication. I poured out my complaint before him. I showed before him my trouble. When my spirit was overwhelmed within me, then thou knewest my path. In the way wherein I walked, have they privily laid a snare for me. I looked on my right hand and beheld, but there was no man that would know me. Refuge failed me. No man cared for my soul. I cried unto thee, O Lord. I said, thou art my refuge and my portion in the land of the living. Attend unto my cry, for I am brought very low. Deliver me from my persecutors, for they are stronger than I. Bring my soul out of prison, that I may praise thy name. The righteous shall compass me about, for thou shalt deal bountifully with me. Everybody say amen. Amen. Sounds like a gloomy psalm for this gloomy day, doesn't it? But with the Lord's help, I hope that we can see the positive message even in this. But let's pray and ask God to open our ears to hear what he would say to us. Lord, we do thank you and praise you for all that you've already said to us in the songs and your spirit moving in our midst. And now, Lord, as we come to this preaching part of the service, I ask that you would give me the ability to speak those things that you've laid in my heart and mind. But Lord, give us ears to hear what the Spirit would speak to us today. Challenge us and draw us all closer to you. In Jesus' name, we give you the praise. Amen. And everybody say amen. All right, you may be seated. Bear with me as I give you my title here today. I don't want it to shock you or to seem silly. Give me a chance to explain today. As I tell you, I want to preach today on the cry of the caveman. The cry of the caveman. And before you get to imagining that, that cartoonist figure that we see from the evolutionists who want to create in us an idea of an ape that is transferring and transitioning into a human being. And before you try to imagine the main character of my message today as a long-haired guy with a great big club and he can't get words out other than ugh, that's not exactly what I have in mind this morning. But I take my title for this message from a portion of this psalm that, depending on how your biblical editor designed it, it may have been either the part of verse number 1, or as in my Bible, it's actually an introduction to verse number 1. If you have your Bibles open, you might want to look and recheck this. Where it says, Maskil of David, a prayer when he was in the cave. You see that? All right. And so I see on our screen, our Bible version includes it as part of verse number 1. A maskil, which is a type of psalm, a type of song, a style of song that David has written. And he bases it on a prayer. So he's singing this song. It's a song of worship. And eventually we get to verse number 7 and we see the positive outcome of it. But it is a prayer. And it is a prayer that he prayed in a very specific place, a cave. And then we get into the beginning of his prayer. I cried unto the Lord. So you can see the obvious connections here, I hope, and why I'm titling this The Cry of the Caveman. Amen. David was in a cave. In fact, We find out through the scriptures that there are at least two times that David was in a cave, and both times hiding from his enemies. And so there's some debate about which cave incident this is. I have a tendency to lean towards the cave of Adullam, or Adullam, however you would say it, when he was running from King Saul. And so if I refer to that today, that's just my personal belief that this is the situation that he's in, the cave of Adullam. And he's running from King Saul. But whichever one it was, we know that the cave describes a condition, or let's say a location that is less than comfortable. Now, I know that in today's world, a lot of men have their little getaway spot in their home that they've designated as what? The man cave. And that's really kind of humorous to imagine, because these man caves have every luxury you can imagine, you know. And they go down to their man cave, and I don't know about, you know, you holiness men necessarily, but the common description is down there in their man cave, they've got their games, their pool table, their ping pong table, they've got their supply of beverages to drink, and they have their big screen TV mounted on the wall, and their recliners to kick back in, and places for their friends to hang out with them. That really sounds like a cave, doesn't it? Isn't it? But the man cave of today is not what I want you to be imagining. This is a hole in the side of a hill. This is a rugged cutout, a collapsed part of the earth that has created a place where David feels like he can get away and hide. He probably has some of his men stationed at the mouth of the cave as sentries, guards, and lookouts, because he's in danger. And I know that you can feel that sense of danger as we read through this psalm here. He's dealing with a lot of different things. But this cave, to fully get the picture, we need to imagine it as a deep place in the earth. We need to imagine it as a dark place, a cold place, and a lonely place. This is far from comfort. This is not the refuge that we think of as a retreat. In fact, he is not necessarily escaping all of the calamities that he's dealing with. It seems to me like inside this cave is the containment of all of his calamities. David's got a lot going on in his life. In fact, I like to outline it this way this morning, that David is he's in a dilemma. David is in distress, and David is in a dungeon of sorts. Let me describe that for you just a little bit here this morning. When I say that he's in distress, we see that he's making a supplication to the Lord, and he says, "I showed him my trouble." I have that word circled in my Bible. Verse number 3, he's overwhelmed, the Bible says. He's feeling in verse number 4 that refuge has failed me. I can't find a place to get away from all of this, and no man cared for my soul. So he's got a lot on his mind here, and this distress that he feels is a combination of things. It is his own personal problems, his own personal distress. He has anxiety issues going on here that you can pick up on, and anxiety is a very real thing. Can you say amen? I know that some people want to dismiss the mental health issues of our day, but I'm one of those that is firmly convinced that anxiety and depression are very real battles, even for Christians. And the enemy takes advantage of those things. And they are very real, dark, personal battles that we may all face at different times in our life. And so he has his personal problems. But on top of this, look with me, if you will, turn real quick in 1 Samuel chapter 22. This is a description, I think, of the setting of our story. 1 Samuel 22, verse 1. David therefore departed thence and escaped to the cave Adullam. So this is where I'm imagining him at in this prayer time of his. He escaped to the cave Adullam. And when his brethren and all his father's house heard it, they went down thither to him, which is interesting because a little later he says, no man cared for my soul. But he does have family here, so separate issue here. But verse number 2 says, and everyone that was in distress, and everyone that was in debt, and everyone that was discontented gathered themselves unto him. How'd you like to hang out with that kind of a crowd? Are y'all with me this morning? And they gathered themselves unto him, and he became a captain over them, and there were with him about 400 men. So besides his family, these so-called friends of his are described in 3D here today. 3D, amen, as men in distress, men in debt, and men who are very discontented. Wow, what a crowd to have around about you when you're dealing with your own problems. And besides that, he has enemies. He has enemies. King Saul, of course, is the leader of his enemies, but there are others as well that he's accumulated along the way. Not everybody is on David's side. He is a man of God. He has been chosen by God. He has been anointed God to be king, but he's not a king yet. We've read about him being a kid that God blessed and used and watching over his father's sheep. And we know that he's going to become king eventually, but in between the kid and the king is a cave, all right? Well, they sound the same, but, obviously C instead of the hard K there. Amen. David is in a cave, and he's going through some things, and he has enemies that are surrounding him. He's got a lot of stress in his life, so that's why I call this David's distress. I don't know who I may be preaching to specifically here this morning, but I believe that there's a possibility that there's a man in a cave among us today. And by the way, little P.S. here, amen, this is gender neutral, okay? Amen. The word man here is all-inclusive. So I don't exclude all of you women today, and I don't think that this is targeted just to men of age. It could be young men among us, young, old, male, female. It's all included in this concept of people going through a time in their life when they find themselves in a deep, dark cave. Help me while I preach for just a few minutes this morning. Amen. David has distress. He's got a lot of things going on in his life. Some of these are overwhelming. These are more than he's able to comprehend. I don't know if you've ever been in a time like this, but I'm convinced that you have been. If you're not in a time like this right now, when it's just seems like it's load upon load, weight upon weight, things, you know, out of control, overwhelming, more than you can handle. Amen. I often think when I talk about stress and distress about the time that we were preaching in South Carolina, and the church there had put us up in a bed and breakfast, which was very nice. There was no hotels nearby, so they used a local bed and breakfast. Very nice. We enjoyed it. Well, one morning at breakfast, I got in a conversation with another one of the guests there. And in the conversation, I found out he had a very interesting job description, one I'd never heard of before. He told me that he was an architectural forensics inspector. Amen. forensics. You know, we think of that as detectives going through a crime scene. And basically, that's what he did. But the crime was maybe the collapse of a building unexpectedly, or the building didn't do what it was designed to do. And so he would be sent to inspect, what might have given way, what might have been faulty, whatever. He was an architectural forensics inspector. Well, it just so happened I was working on a message for a minister's conference, and it was going to involve stress. And so I told him that I had read that the designers of the Golden Gate Bridge had to consider various kinds of stress in the design of that bridge. And immediately he started nodding his head, and he kind of engaged in the conversation, and he said, "I'm from San Francisco. That's where the Golden Gate Bridge is." And he says, "I know something about the design of that bridge." And he said, "You're right, preacher. They had to take into consideration various kinds of stress. One of them," he said, "was what they call dead load. The other one was called live load. And then the third one was wind shear." And he explained in detail to me that dead load was just the weight of the bridge materials itself. It had to be designed in a way where it could hold its own self up. The weight of the bridge, dead load, just itself holding up. But then you have to consider on top of that live load. There's going to be numerous cars, trucks, buses loaded with people, semi-trucks loaded down with cargo, all of that on a daily basis, passing back and forth over this bridge. And so the bridge can't just only hold itself up. It has to support all of this additional stress. And on top of that, he said, you've got to consider the weather conditions because the Golden Gate Bridge in the San Francisco Bay is exposed to the extreme weathers coming off the Pacific Ocean. And so there's going to be wind shear, other things that will vibrate. Remember, the Golden Gate Bridge is a suspension bridge. It's designed to be held up by cables. And when I thought about all of that, I said, remind me to never drive across that bridge again. Amen. Held up by cables and all of these challenges, the weight of its own self, the weight of all of these passers-by, and the invisible forces of nature that are against it. And I couldn't help but think of the comparisons, the metaphor of that in our own lives. Friends, the reality is a lot of days we're doing everything we can to just hold ourselves up. Amen. We've got our own personal problems, our own inner struggles. We've got thoughts in our mind. We have, we've got cares. We've got financial difficulties, all of these things. And then on top of that, we've got to go to work and deal with all of them at work. Woo, come on. Or school. And the other family members, those that live with us and the extended family, and the phone rings and they've got troubles and trials and problems, and you want to be there for them and all. But some days it just seems like it's more than you can handle. And then, besides all of that, you have the wind howling, amen, from the spirit world. This invisible enemy we call Satan, the devil, the spiritual forces that would love to bring us down. Because Jesus told us that the thief, the devil, comes to steal, kill, and destroy. We do have wind shear in our life. Y'all hear me? We have an invisible force, the forces of nature, if you will allow me to put it that way, that are constantly blowing against us. And we have a lot as human beings to deal with on a daily basis. And if we'd be honest this morning, the reality is that there are days that we feel like we're in a deep, dark, lonely cave. And it's cold. Amen. Praise God. David was in distress. David felt like he was in a dungeon. We get that idea in verse number 7. "Bring my soul out of prison," he said. my soul out of prison. He's not behind bars. He hasn't been arrested. Saul is after him. Saul's out to get him. But David's movements have been restricted because of the enemies that are against him. So to a certain degree, he is in a prison or restricted. But specifically, he says here, my soul. I feel like I'm trapped in my soul. There's something going on inside me. I feel like I'm in prison. I know that some of you have struggled with that. Even in the house of the Lord, sitting on a padded pew while the choir's singing, something makes you feel so restricted. You can't hardly get a hand up. You can't even get a word of hallelujah out. The tears seem like they've dried up in their sockets. Something's wrong. It feels like your soul is in a prison. But I want to tell you, amen, that David has some solutions for us here today if we will follow his example. No matter if you feel like you're in a dungeon or in distress or you're just down, amen, David was down. He said in verse number 6, I am brought very, very low. I am down. Amen. I don't know why the last 3 weeks I have talked so much about down and bringing up the word down. Last week I tried to emphasize being up, and I want to get us up. Amen. Praise God. But we don't understand what it means to be up if we don't understand being down. And sometimes we are down. We do get down. And David was down very, very low. David, amen, is in distress. Amen. I feel like David was feeling fearful, friendless, and frustrated. He's afraid of his enemies. He's surrounded by people that he knows, but yet he says, no man cared for my soul. It's like they all depend on me, but they aren't bringing anything to the table. They're not offering any assistance. They don't understand what I'm going through. And maybe because he's a leader, everybody just looks to him to lead. But we often forget that even leaders get low. Amen. No man cared for my soul. I feel like nobody cares about me. You ever been there? Feel like everybody's abandoned you? I feel like sometimes even Christians in church feel like they are all alone in this world. But you need to lift up your head, lift up your eyes, look around you, and realize you are not alone. And the reality is, you've seen your name on the prayer list before, and you know that even now people are praying for you. You've got people that care for you. Don't let the devil back you into a deep, dark corner and make you feel like you're friendless. And you know what? If all of the world forsakes us, amen, I have a friend that sticks closer than a brother. What's his name this morning? Amen. We're not friendless today. We might feel like it and frustrated, just unable to comprehend and deal with everything going on. But David had a devotion even in his desperation. Let me talk about David's desperation and hear this in his prayer as he cries out, the cry of this caveman in a deep, dark cave and feeling these things. The Bible tells us that in verse number 1, verse number 5, and verse number 6, I cried unto the Lord. I cried unto thee, O Lord. Attend unto my cry, for I am brought very low. Can I tell you that the first step to deliverance is to get desperate with God? To get desperate with God. Don't let the desperations of this world strip you of that faith that helps you to overcome in the great difficulties. You need to refocus on getting desperate with God. That means to cry out to Him. There may be other phone calls that you could make and people might be able to assist, and there might be resources that you can call upon, counselors that you might confide in, but none of them are going to be supreme over the God who is able to deliver us out of them all. Amen. I cried unto the Lord. I cried out with my voice. I know that many times modernists want to dismiss this idea of crying out because they want to limit our praying to quiet whispers and everybody just behaving themselves, and you know, we're not supposed to get loud in church or anything like that. And I beg to differ this morning. There's times you got to get desperate and you need to cry out and cry out with your voice. And the word here, it does mean to raise the voice, but then I believe it contains the emotional element of tears as well. Put some emotion into your prayer. Make your devotion also include emotion. It's all right to get raw in front of God. He knows already anyways. But He wants us to show that we are desperate for Him and we want Him, amen, more than anything else. This cry of the caveman is a desperate cry. He cries to the Lord. Verse number 2, I poured out my complaint. Amen. I know that we don't like this word complaint, and we don't like complainers who are complaining about everything all the time. But can I tell you, it is acceptable to complain to the Lord. It doesn't mean to blame Him for everything. Amen. It doesn't mean to wallow in self-pity. But if we have supplications, verse number 1, I make my supplication, then lay out that complaint, that supplication to the Lord. Take it to the Lord in prayer and leave it there. Amen. Cry out to Him. Share with Him this pouring out of your complaints. And then I believe that he wants us also to go searching. And that's what David does here. He said, I looked on my right hand and beheld there was no man there that would know me. Look around. Realize, see what your options are. But after you look around, after you realize that your resources are limited, let your searching take you not just looking to the right hand, to the left hand, in front of you and behind you, but let your searching tilt your head a little bit in a different direction and look up. And see, amen, that God is there to help you. Amen. David was desperate for the Lord. Amen. We need to cry out, God, help us. I was in Walmart some time back, and walking down the main aisle, I heard a voice from a little side aisle over there. Help! The voice was saying, a man's voice, help me, somebody, help me. I looked around. There were no blue vests running down the aisle. You know what I mean by that. Amen. The employees, I didn't see much other movement, so I just went down and kept looking until I got to the aisle, and I saw the voice attached to this man standing there in the middle of the aisle, and he was reaching up on the top shelf trying to get something, and he's hollering, help! Would somebody help me? I was expecting to see him crumbled on the floor or, you know, in pain and agony and was really needing help. And I was, a little discouraged that nobody was there to help him. But I guess others saw that all he was wanting was something on the top shelf. But still, I learned the lesson. If you need help, ask. You're not going to find many of them willing to help standing nearby. They don't come and ask you, do you need help? They just don't do that anymore. If you want help, maybe you need to take that drastic measure and just cry out, help! Would somebody help me? And I believe that that is a powerful prayer tool that we have to use in our times of distress, is to get desperate with God and cry out, Lord, help me. I need help. I need you now. That's the essence of crying out to God. And the cry of the caveman lets us have an insight to a man who's going through a very difficult time in life, and he cries out to God for help. And then the third thing, of course, that we see here, maybe not quite as clearly as the other things, but I believe it's implied in verse number 7, David's deliverance. So we have David's distress spelled out clearly for us today, David's desperation in his prayer, and then I do see glimpses of David's deliverance here. So he says, bring my soul out of prison that I may praise thy name. The righteous shall compass me about, for thou shalt deal bountifully with me. Now what's, I think, interesting here is that it is implied that David is looking forward to better times. He's, for a while, telling us about all of these 3D people around about him, those in distress, those in debt, and those that are discontent. That's what he's surrounded with now. But he tells us as he gets a little glimpse, I think, of the future, that there's coming a day that the righteous will surround me. Amen. It's not always going to be gloom and doom. And it doesn't mean that these guys, these rough guys that have come, to help me with the battle, these rugged warriors, whoever they have been trained to do. Amen. It doesn't mean that they are not righteous. But David has a different view of a day where it's going to appear like, amen, that good people are all around about him and righteous people are all around about him. I don't know about you, but after spending 6 days out there in the world, amen, and hearing all of the cussing, come on now, and all of their, about all of their wicked entertainments and their misbehaviors, I kind of look forward to that day of the week when we're surrounded by the righteous. Amen. Don't you feel like that's a bright spot in your week? Raise a hand and say hallelujah if you agree with me. It ought to be, and it is. Amen. So David looks ahead through his desperation, and he sees that there's coming a better day. I'm going to be surrounded by the righteous, and thou shalt deal bountifully with me. I'm not going to be stuck in this cave forever. I'm not going to be living on K rations forever. I'm not going to be, foraging around in the fields for my food forever. There's coming a day. God has heard my prayer. He has heard my cry. I'm not going to stay in this cave. I'm coming out of this dungeon. There's coming a day when God's going to deal bountifully with me. It is going to be better. I'd like to encourage you, Lord, with the help of the Lord this morning, to look out a little bit out of the mouth of your cave. Look a little farther out there and see. You're not going to stay here forever. It's not always going to be dark and cold and lonely. God, amen, this good God that we sang about earlier in the service, amen, this good God, the goodness of the Lord, the goodness of God is running after us, running after me, running after you. God is going to bless you and help you. This temporary trial, this setback that you are in, this cave that you're in, this does not define the rest of your life. Hallelujah. Woo! Somebody say praise the Lord. Hallelujah. David saw deliverance coming. Amen. In thinking about caves and cave rescues, I did a little research and found out that some states have rescue agencies that are dedicated to cave rescues. Of course, that's probably more out west in the mountains where there's lots of... does anybody remember the word that is cave explorers? It's a funny word. Spelunking. Now, everybody say that 3 times fast, all right? So the spelunking, did I say it right, Brother Rolls? Amen. Makes for spelunkers, cave explorers. So there's got to be caves, and the more common that would be, then you would have the need for cave rescuers. And so that's interesting to me. But these national cave rescuers go through specialized training on how to deal in situations like this to get people out of these types of crisis. I'm glad that I know that there is not national, not international. Can I say intergalactical rescuers? Amen. Praise God. Angels on command under the influence of our Heavenly Father. Amen. We've got a God with a very strong, long arm. He's able to reach into the deepest cave, and He's able to pull us out of the darkness. I'm glad that God is merciful to us spelunkers here on planet Earth. Amen. He knows we fall into situations where we need His assistance. Probably one of the most frightening stories to me, and probably just telling this will send my wife into shock and shivers, because she has a little bit of claustrophobia. She doesn't like close places. And so, hon, if you have to, just shut your ears. As I talk about in Chile in 2010... there were 33 miners who were trapped in a collapsed mine in a shaft down 2,300 feet under the earth. 2,300 feet down in the earth, and they were trapped. 33 men. Not just one day or 2 days. In fact, they were there for 69 days, 2 months. Over 2 months, trapped in a deep, dark cave down in the earth. See, she's shaking her head right now. She's getting nervous. Amen. I don't like the idea of being in a situation like that. 69 days. Amen. Trying to stay alive, trying to encourage one another. Some of them did have mental breakdowns. It was understandably a very, very difficult thing. What they didn't know was that almost immediately from up above, they were drilling down through all of the rubble and all of the chaos and all of the rocks and the debris, drilling. At first, it was just a small drill, but they finally broke through to the open cave down below, and they were able to feed a microphone or speaker down 2,300 feet down in there, and a voice came out of the speaker to those men in the darkness and said, "Hold on, help is on the way." Amen. From up above, a voice says, "Hold on, help is on the way." Praise God. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy is coming in the morning. 69 mornings for them. They expanded their drill capabilities until it got wider and wider. And then from what I read and the images I saw, they finally developed some kind of a shaft drill that could penetrate down through the rock just big enough to let a kind of a capsule down into that cavern, a capsule just big enough for one man at a time, and I'm sure that it accommodated various size men, but one man at a time, this capsule came down, the front of it opened. You know what it looked like? The little bank canister that when you go through the drive-thru and you put your money in it and zoop, there it goes. That's a lot like life, isn't it? Zoop, there it goes. Well, between zoop and spelunkers, I'm having fun time with language here this morning. So it looked a lot like that canister, the door open, you got in it, and then the cranking of the chains and cables would pull one man at a time out of that cave. I can't even imagine the mixed feelings of excitement that I'm getting out of here. I'm going up, and then the apprehension of this mechanism working, and can I trust it, and is it really going to work? And it really sounds like the everyday struggles of people like me and you. Amen. We want out, and we know that God's going to help us, but how, and what's he going to use, and when, and will it really work? Have faith, my friend. Believe and trust in the Lord this morning. God is on your side. He cares about you. He has heard your heart's cry from the depth of the cave, and he has answered back. Help is on the way. Amen. So hold on a little bit longer. Amen. Praise God. And while you're sitting in church and you see, amen, you see, well, you see situations like Brother Cruz jumping up out of here the other day when I got a hold of his hand and he took off praising the Lord and shouting. And you say, well, I see Brother Cruz getting a blessing. When is my time? Hold on. You might be the next one getting in. Amen. And so one at a time, 33 of them came up out of that deep, dark crevice, a cave in the depth of the earth. I'm just going to tell you this morning, I don't necessarily believe that God picks one at a time for deliverance, but if your time hasn't come yet, you still need to hold on a little bit longer. Help is on the way. God is not going to leave you stranded here. You will learn the lessons that he wants you to learn. You will deal with this desperate cry, and you will work through this prayer meeting of yours and laying it all out and working it out between you and him. And then God in his remarkable timing is going to bring you to a day of deliverance. And won't you be glad, amen, that you held on till then? My God is going to deal bountifully with me. My God is a good God. He loves me. He cares about me. He's not abandoning me. He hasn't forgotten me. Jesus said, I will never leave you and never forsake you. I will be with you all the way to the end. So listen to me, lying devil. Get behind me, Satan. I believe Jesus over you. I'm not alone. He is here with me. And I believe that he's a good God. He's a Savior. He's a friend. He's my Lord. And one of these days, I'm going to see the goodness of God, and I'm going to praise him for it. Hallelujah. Lord, bring my soul out of prison that I may praise thy name. I'm going to praise you, Lord. Amen. I believe in you. I trust you. I cry out to you. Amen. But I am going to give you the glory and the praise for all of this when you bring me up out of it. Amen. Praise God. Oh, glory. Let's just have the singers come and get a song and get ready to pray here this morning. I believe that there are some cavemen among us today, some cave women, if I can put it that way, young people that are going through a hard time in your life. And I'm just trying to encourage you this morning to keep crying out to God. And if there are those among us here today that either it's been a long time since you've prayed, long time since you've cried out to God. Somehow or another, the enemy has stripped you of your faith, and you've lost your spiritual voice, and you have failed in your crying out to God. He still loves you, and he's still listening. And if you from here, now, today, will lift up your voice, he will hear your cry. Oh, cavemen, cry out to the Lord today. Cry out to him. And if you've never prayed, it doesn't mean that you have to think of beautiful, remarkable words to say and to repeat. Just cry out to him. If you've never prayed before and you realize your life is a mess, you're caught in a cave, sin has all but destroyed you and your family, cry out to him, God, forgive me. Please, Jesus, forgive me. I don't deserve it, but help me. Jesus, come into my life. I need you. I can't do this on my own. He will hear your heart's cry. Stand with me this morning as we get ready to pray. Lord, we thank you for your word. Your word is truth. And I feel, oh Spirit of God, that you are moving among us today. And for these last several weeks, you've been trying to encourage those that are discouraged, strengthen those that are weak, and lift up those that are fallen. I pray again today, Lord, that you would hear the heart's cry of somebody today that needs you. Save the lost. Bring back a backslider. Help us, Lord, today, we pray. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Whatever you feel to sing, Sister Tricia, you can go ahead. And, well, like normal, I didn't get it done before noon. But we've got important business to take care of. And if you would just take a few minutes before you go home to your dinner and to your family, and some of you to a house that doesn't even have lights, why don't we take time to cry out to the Lord today? If you have a special need, would you step out right now and allow us to pray with you? Amen. We who have been in caves before would like to help rescue you if you'll allow us to. We'd like to drop down a rope and a canister, so to speak, and help pull you out if you'll allow us to. Somebody needing special prayer, somebody feeling your need to get saved today, you want to be saved, you want to start living for the Lord, step out right now. Come on. Don't put it off anymore. It's time to get honest and serious with God today. Church, would you lead the way this morning for a time of prayer around the altar? And pray as long as you want to and as long as you can. And when you're done, you can be dismissed, and we'll come back tonight again for church service at 6:30. But we don't want to hear a message from the Lord and then not take time to evaluate where we're at, talk to God about what we're going through. Let's pray, church. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Oh, call to him, young men. Call to him, aged men. Oh, sisters, ladies, women of God, call upon the Lord and let him help you today. Let him be your encouragement. Let him bless you bountifully today.
Come to me. I'll be your shelter.
Thank you, Lord.
My yoke is easy. My load is light. And you can find rest for your soul. There's a peace that can hold you, and a power greater than your own. When you feel so small, back to the wall, that's when Jesus calls. Come to me, all who are weary, heavy burden, all who are hurting, come to me. Come to me, all who find rest for your soul, rest for your soul. Shelter, my yoke is easy.